Okay, we're going to start off with a story. It's a very simple story. But Rebbe, I'm not understanding what Tosis is saying, said a young man named Azriel. Rebbe Bello knew that this was a very difficult Tosfos, but he also knew that Azriel wasn't the best at Zitzfleish, sitting down and staying where he was. He was, you know, a bit of a lazy student. So he told him something he wouldn't really tell too many other kids. He said, you have to fast in order to understand this Tosfos. That's what he told Azriel. Work on it, and eventually you're going to get it. This is one of the most difficult Tosfos in all of Shas. So there's no way you're going to get it without fasting. So 2 days later, Rebbe Bello approached Azriel and noticed that he looked sick and drained. He said to him, is everything okay? He said, what's going on? So Azriel answered him. He said, I'm fine. I'm just a little weak because I still haven't figured out that Tosfos since you told me to fast over it. So it's been 2 days now, and I'm going to continue to fast until I figure it out. But Rebbe, you were right. This is a really, really difficult Tosfos. That's what Azriel did. Obviously, Rebbe Bello did not tell anybody to fast ever again in order to learn a Tosfos after that point. Hope he told them right then that he should stop fasting right then. It's possible that he just told them, nah, keep going. You're doing well already. It's very possible. The point is that this kid, Azriel, is a real Talmud Chacham. This is in every sense of the word. He got the concept of what it means to listen to what your Rebbe said and to push yourself to understand something a little bit deeper than what you would have said, to really understand. You know what it means to be a masmid? The word masmid obviously comes from the word tamid, as in continuously, continuously working, continuously doing, b'chol yom tamid, masiv reishis. That every single day, everything's going to happen. It's not like a Kadosh Baruch Hu one time says, you know, I'm going to take a break. It's b'chol yom tamid. It's always going to be the exact same way. A masmid does not need to be someone who's learning ben astar. That doesn't help you become a masmid. A masmid is a person who does everything he's supposed to do in the times that he's supposed to do with it. That again, we know this, but 7:30 starts Shacharis, 7:30 is when you're there. If Shacharis ends at 8:20, then you're there until 8:20. If Seder starts at 9:05, then you're there at 9:05. A masmid is a person who is tamid, doing what he's supposed to be doing in the times that he's supposed to be doing it. Obviously, it helps your hasmada, your ability to be a masmid, when you add on time sometimes. It helps you when you add on a little bit here and a little bit there. It helps you realize the importance of what you're doing by adding on. But that doesn't mean that you have to add on. A masmid is a constant presence at the time when a person is supposed to be present. And if you're not, then you're not a masmid. If the person is only there, and I remember there was a guy that was here a few years ago who bedavka would only come during Bein Asdarim. He would only be here during Bein Asdarim to show, to chap, to see, I'm doing it because I want to do it. Not because you're making me do it, but I'm doing it because I want to do it. So I said, yes, you are. You're doing it because you want me to notice that you're doing it at a different time. You're not doing it because you want to. You're not even doing it because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to. You're doing it just because you want to prove me incorrect. That's a line. That's a different person. It means that you're staying in Seder until 12:30 on the dot. That even though Rebbe let you out from Shir a little bit early, or even though you finished up the Sugya a little bit early, 12:30. I'll just put it into perspective. If a person's being paid to be there from 9 to 5, right, at an office, then if he's not there from 9 to 5, if you clock yourself in and clock yourself out, and it says 9:03, right, and 4:58, you don't get paid for the full hour. That's not a full hour of work. So you could have a really, really nice boss who says, you know what, it doesn't make that much of a difference to me. I'll give you off a minute here, a minute there. But halachically speaking, is he allowed to be mochel that for you? Is the money that you're getting paid for the 8 hours of work from 9 to 5, is that including little, you know, being a little bit late and coming a little bit later, coming a little bit, going a little bit earlier? Does that count for that? I mean, that applies by anybody who's working off the hours. It's something that everybody has to keep in mind. When you're learning for a living, what's your exact job and what is the job description? How is it going? So I know that I put certain wording in my contract when it said that I had to be here from X to X. It said, unless There's a reason. Something like, I forgot what my actual wording was. To be able to put that in. Because if you're expecting me to be here from 9 to 5 every single day, well, I'm not going to be here from 9 to 5 every single day. There are times we're going to have to go somewhere else where I'm going to have to do something. That's something that you have to think about if you're getting paid. What's going to be in that? I know that's a schir yom versus a kablan and the difference between it. But the point is that to get there, to be this maspid, to be a person who is tummy doing, you have to love what you're doing. You have to love it. Because if you don't, then you're going to eventually just start slacking off and start using the hours for your own thing. To love what you're doing, you have to feel that what you're doing is the right thing. In order to feel that you're doing the right thing, you have to think that you're important and that what you're doing is important. And in order to feel that what you're doing is important, you have to actually ask yourself some pretty strong questions. What do I want? And what am I doing? And how am I going to go about doing it? And what's my goal? And how am I going to go about attaining that goal? Again, if you want to be that masmid, you have to get yourself there step by step by step by step until you can get to the point where you say that. What are you willing to give up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are you willing to look in the face and say, here's what I can do and here's what I can't do? And that's really something that you have to discuss with yourself, about yourself, right? And discuss it with a Rebbe and try to figure it out. Shavuos is known as Yom Matan Torah Seinu. It's the day that we say in our Shemona Esrei, in Musaf, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, the time for the giving of the Torah. And that's true. The giving of the Torah was around this time. But that's not mentioned anywhere throughout the Chumash. It's not mentioned anywhere in Tanakh, but Shavuos doesn't come up anywhere else in Tanakh aside from the Chumash and Emor and Pinchas and at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. But it's not there. It doesn't say it's the time that the Torah was given. We know that Shavuos was when the Torah was given. But nowhere does it say that. It's the same way by Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is known as the Day of Din, Yom HaDin. It doesn't say anywhere that it's the Yom HaDin. There's no place that says that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin in the Chumash or in Tanakh. It doesn't say that anywhere. The fact that we know that Pesach is Zman Chirusenu, that's a little bit more obvious because it comes from something else. But these things aren't clear. It's not clear that that's what the day is, that that's what it is. Yom Kippur as being the Zman Chasima, the day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us and decides everything, etc. These things are not clear from the Torah itself. But this is a little bit weird because Shavuos is not like the other Chagim that are dependent upon a Hebrew date to come. Shavuos, says the Gemara, could be on the 5th of Sivan, could be on the 6th of Sivan, could be on the 7th of Sivan. It's 50 days from the second day of Pesach. Whenever that second day of Pesach is, 50 days later, 50 days later, is Shavuos. If, because remember they had Kiddush HaChodesh back then, they were Bimkadosh the Chodesh and Beis Din, if there were two extra days in each month, then it could be it's on the 5th of Sivan. If both months were chaser, both months were 29-day months, right? We're talking Nisan and Iyar, then it was on the 7th of Sivan. And if one is chaser and one is mole, which is our calendar that we have today from Hillel Katan, then it's on the 6th of Sivan. That's what it ends up being. But that's still a Pelah. This is a machlokis in Shabbos on Pei Zayin and Pei Ches. But what day did Matan Torah actually happen? We all know that Shabbos, Sunday is when they got to Har Sinai. And then we have the Cheshbon of how many days. But there's Machlokas. If Matan Torah happened on the 6th day of Sivan or the 7th day of Sivan, was it on the 6th or the 7th? Now, let's think for a second. For those that say it's the 6th, it makes a lot of sense. It's 50 days from Matan Torah, 50 days from the second day of Pesach. It is, the 6th day is the day that we keep Shavuos nowadays. That makes a lot of sense. But if you say that Shavuos happened on the 7th day, and you live in Eretz Yisrael, so that nowadays you only have one day of Shavuos, you're keeping a day that wasn't Matan Torah. Matan Torah happened on the 7th, according to this opinion. They keep in Eretz Yisrael Shavuos on the 6th day of Sivan. There's nothing on the 7th. So what are they celebrating? They're not celebrating Zman Matan. It's a Zman where the Torah was given, but it's not the day of Matan Torah. The day of Matan Torah is the 7th, not the 6th. I know this is like an obvious question, an obvious problem. Sometimes you got to go over the obvious problems to remember it all over again. But Shavuos is on the wrong day. We should celebrate on the 51st day, because Moshe Rabbeinu pushed it off an extra day, that it was made on the seventh day. What are we doing? Why are we keeping Shavuos on the wrong day? And remember, it is not based on the date of the month. It's based on 50 days after second day of Pesach. What's pshat? Why was it done that way? Why is it this way? So Shamshon Raphael Hirsch says that it seems that Shavuos is not a chag about something that happened in the past. It's not about that we received the Torah in the past. That's ridiculous. That's not something we want to commemorate. We received the Torah at one point, and here's what the Torah was. That's not what we're doing. Shavuos is a progressive movement. I'm using my words, and I'm trying to make it sound as big and glorious as Rav Hirsch's words, but it's a progressive movement that we use toward achieving our goals. Everything that we aspire to be and everything we aspire to do, this is what Shavuos is all about. We count up the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day. We count up instead of down to go from 50 to 49, 48. We count up to be able to say, this is what we aspire to be. This is where we want to be. We want to build ourselves up there. We want ourselves to be there. And the ultimate goal, obviously, is to receive the Torah. To get to the point where we're able to get the Torah, we're able to be part of the whole giving of the Torah itself. That's obvious. But the show, the desire, that drive to move forward is what these days are all about, and it's even what Shavuos is all about. Shavuos is not about the reception. It's not about the receiving. This is what we got. Here we got something. That's not it. We're not commemorating something else that happened in our past. That's not what Shavuos is. Shavuos is exhibiting our readiness for it. It's showing I'm ready. I can do it now. I'm ready to accept the Torah. On the 6th of Sivan, everybody agreed they had gone through the 49 levels. They had built themselves to the 50th level of Kedusha to receive the Torah. Even if they didn't receive the Torah on that day, they were ready to receive the Torah on that day. And that's what we do every year. Every single year, it's about building ourselves up to being ready to receive the Torah, not actually receiving it. Not actually going up there and saying, we're ready for it right now. And the day of Shavuos for us is the same way we purposely keep it on the sixth day of Sivan. We purposely make it a day off from that day where Matan Torah happened, according to that opinion of the Gemara. For this reason, the idea is that the whole day of Shavuos is about the preparations. Are you prepared? Are you ready to be the person to receive the Torah? Are you that guy yet? And if you are, great. You have everything ready. It's there in your hands. And if not, then we got to build ourselves up again. We got to do something different. I think this is the reason why Shavuos' name is so different from the others. I'm not going to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. In the Shlosh Regalim, Pesach is clearly called Pesach because of the Korban Pesach. That's clear. Everybody understands the idea. Although we translate it into Passover, right? Clearly the Pesach is about the Korban Pesach, about the Korban that's being brought. Sukkot, that's clear. Sukkot is about the Sukkah. That's without a question. So what's Shavuos? What's Shavuos? We should call it like the Torah does. Atzeres. Atzeres is the day because it's just stopping work. There's no actual mitzvah on Shavuos. There's no lulav and esrog. There's no sukkah to sit in. There's no matzah. There's no chametz to get rid of. What is Shavuos? Shavuos is about what? It's about stopping. Stopping work. And what? Shavuos is all about the weeks leading up to the culmination of me being ready to receive the Torah. That's what it is. It's a different type of chag. It's not about what happened, which Pesach is and Sukkot is. Pesach has a commemoration. Sukkot is a commemoration. Pesach's commemoration is freedom, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matzah, getting rid of chametz. Sukkot is about sitting in a sukkah, remembering the Anani HaKavod, allowing ourselves to have a lulav and esrog, getting ourselves ready for the rainy season. These things are obvious. Those are things that everybody knows. Shavuos. So what's the chag? What's it about? Receiving the Torah? We didn't. That's not what happened. It's not that happened on that day. So what is it? It's Shavuos. It's having 7 weeks of preparation up to the point where we would receive the Torah. And every single year, when you stand and you sit there, I still don't get it. I'm not sure, and I'm not positive I fully understand it. I get the reason why that the Baal Kori reads Matan Torah, Parshas Yisro, right? And he goes through the Aseres Adibros on Shavuos Day. Really, that should happen on the seventh day of Sivan. It should be the seventh day. Because that's when we received the Aseres Adibros. Everything was on the seventh, not on the sixth. So why in the sixth are we getting up and we're doing that in Matan Torah? Because the answer is that we want to accept it. We're ready to accept it. After spending the whole night sitting and learning and getting ourselves so prepared, we spent 49 days preparing for this point. On the 50th day, we're finally there. We're staying up all night. And then how could we not accept the Torah on this day? Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us to then, so we pushed it off a day. But the idea is that we're ready for it. I want it. And that's why it happens then. It's a completely different chag. Completely different chag. This is especially true when you look up the halachos of Shavuos in the Shulchan Aruch. When you see in Shulchan Aruch, specifically Siman Tav Tzadi Daled, you sit there, it's clear, the 50th day of the Omer does not have to be the same day every year. For that reason. It's clear, to me, it seems to be so clear that this is such a true statement that Shavuos has nothing to do with the Matan Torah. It had nothing to do. It's a zecher, it is, but it's about a zecher for Shavuos, for the counting, for bringing yourself up, for readying, preparing yourself, but not about that. So why do we call it Zman Matan Torah Seinu? Because it is. It is the Zman of Matan Torah, but it's our personal Matan Torah, a Matan Torah that happens every year, our preparation and our readiness to get our own Matan Torah every year. And that doesn't have to be on the 7th of Sivan. It doesn't have to be on the 7th of Sivan every single year. It's different. There was a great tzaddik, a legendary masmid, whose name was Rav David Baran. Rav David Baran sat in a base medrash all day long in Yerushalayim, all day, all night. He never came home for meals. He didn't come home for anything. So his daughter used to bring him his meals in the base medrash. She used to bring him the plates and a meal for him to eat. And then she would go and she'd pick up all the dishes and everything else afterward. Sometime later on that evening, she would go ahead and do it. So he always drank. I'm not so sure why, but I assume he didn't have fleishiks during the week. He always drank a bottle of milk. So he would get a bottle of milk together with whatever food he had on the table. And with the bottle of milk, she would also, in the winter, she would give him a bottle of paraffin oil. And he would use that paraffin oil for the heater, for whatever radiator they had there, so that he could fill it up, so that he would be warm on those days as well. So one day, she walked in, and she noticed that the bottle of milk was untouched, the paraffin oil was empty, and that the heater wasn't on. So she quickly chopped what happened. Her father, right, had obviously drunk the paraffin oil instead of the milk. She screamed out loud. She said, "Look what happened. Look what happened. You had the paraffin oil. You were so into your learning, such a masmid." He opened up the oil, tasted it. I don't know how you can't tell the difference between milk and paraffin oil. It must have been really bad milk. But he went ahead, had it, finished it, right? Finished the whole thing. And then, what was his reaction? Well, what would your reaction be? Your reaction would be, "It's time to go to the hospital." Your reaction would be, "I'm such a fool." Right? You know what his reaction was? "Oh no, I made a bracha levatala." That's what he said. That was his issue. When you're a masmid, and again, this is an ultimate masmid, a person who sits in a base medrash all day long and all night long, eating his meals inside the base medrash. That's not normal. That's not normal, and that's not expected, and that's not something you want to do. But to prepare yourself through the necessary modes to be able to get to where you're supposed to go, again, 7:30 means 7:30. 9:05 means 9:05. 12:30 means 12:30. And 1:30 means 1:30. If you're where you're supposed to be at the times, you're Ben Astarm. I don't care what you do, Ben Astarm. Something is totally different when it comes to Ben Astarm. That's something you build up over time. I found the biggest failures are the people who work on their Ben Astarm first and don't work on their Starm first. But if your Seder is set, your Seder is perfect, your Seder is working out well, that person, that's the person who eventually will be able to say, "Oh no, I made a bracha levatala." The person who's able to get to that point and say to himself, "Here's where I am, here's what I want to do." Push yourself. And I know, we only have a week until Shavuot starts. 1 week, and that's it. If you have 1 week, let's look at it the other way. You have 7 days. 7 days to ready yourself. 7 days to get yourself prepared. 7 days to push yourself to be able to make sure a Seder is a Seder. To make sure that what you're supposed to do, you're going to do. And if there's time, things that I have to do, fine, you'll take care of them. But you do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Work on this now, with or without your Rebbe. With or without. If you can't do it because your Rebbe is letting you out of shir, stay there for 5 extra minutes. and see if you can do it on your own. And sit down and chazer something that anybody said that day. And go over. This is an idea of pushing yourself a little bit past what you have. And really, the truth is, it's not even past the boundaries. It's up to the boundaries. See if you can succeed. See if you can be matzliach that way. And that way, you're ready. You'll be prepared for Matan Torah. The 4 hours, four hours and 20 minutes that Matan Torah will be on Shavuos Nice, for our personal Matan Torah, is going to be a completely different world for you. You should be zocha to such levels. You should be zocha to be masmidim. We should be zocha to understand what it means and to love what we're doing and understand why it's so important to be involved in Kabbalah Satorah and Matan Torah every single year. Have a good day.